Oops. Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Round 2. We're happy you're with us, and this is one of your hosts, Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, anchoring in the beautiful Overland Park, Kansas, and my buddies are here with us. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton from the Durham end of the table, and as you all know, we are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. But we are offering you a shortcut to find us. You get to Nirvana very quickly if you just type in yourspiritualpractice.com.
There you go. Easy way to get there. And yes, it may be rainy here, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's gorgeous here, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
Amen. And so here we go. We're going to be romping with our two segments. The first segment, we're continuing to look at spiritual law and discerning if something is a law or a rule, a spiritual law or a universal law or a law of mind cannot be broken. It is always in play. We're always using it. And a rule you can break. It's just like a traffic law. You don't have to go 35. You don't have to go 55. In fact, most of us go at least 5 miles an hour over it, correct?
At least.
That's right. And you have to be willing to pay the consequences if you use it a certain way.
Yeah, I call it a fat 55 or a fat 35. Okay, so we're going to look at one more quote on the law of divine knowing. And if hopefully we'll have time, we'll be moving on to the secondary law of diet, economics, and medicine. That's a curious one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then in the second segment, we're going to be looking at Bill's book, as we have been, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, Cher's Choice. And to tease you, we're going to be looking at When Push Comes to Shove. When push comes to shove. I almost want to start there. That's so so intriguing. So, Cher, are you in good voice today?
I am. Yes.
Okie doke. So we're looking at the laws, and here we go.
All right. So this is a continuation, and it comes from Charles Fillmore, Christian Healing. And he says, never say, I don't know, I don't understand. Claim your Christ understanding at all times and declare, I am not under any spell of human ignorance. I am one with infinite understanding. The accumulation of ignorance gathered through association with ignorant minds can be dissolved by using the word. You may know by simply holding the thought that you know. This is not egotism, but spiritual knowing. When you declare divine understanding, you sometimes meet your old line of thought and are disappointed. Right then, continue to hold to your declaration for knowing. Judge not by appearances. Do not act until you get the assurance. If you keep close to spirit by affirmation, the assurance will come. Will it come by a voice? No. We just talked about this yesterday at our spiritual cafe.
More to come, friends.
Yes. No, it does not come by voice. You will know through the faculty of intuition. Divine knowing is direct fusion of mind of God with mind of man. I'm going to read that sentence again. Divine knowing is direct fusion of mind of God with mind of man. Sometimes we are taught by symbols, visions, and the like, but this is only one of the ways that divine mind has of expressing itself. When the mind deals with God ideals, it asks for no symbols, visible or invisible, but rests on pure knowing. It is in this consciousness that Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always.
Wow, that one's another one that's jam-packed.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, wow.
And there's a lot of reference to 12 powers. You'll notice it doesn't say anything about the law of divine knowing, but it defines what divine knowing is.
Right.
So that's a really important detail. So Cher, I'm going to suggest that you go back and remind people, maybe do a couple lines and then we'll unpack that.
Okay.
And then we'll continue from there.
Yeah, and I want to make sure everybody that we talk about contextually what he's saying here too. Being a customer service professional here who teaches customer service, that first sentence just blew my mind. So I want to be sure we know that contextually.
You're going to have to expand on that after you just do the first line.
Okay. So he says, never say, I don't know, I don't understand. Claim your Christ understanding at all times and declare, I am not under any spell of human ignorance. I am one with infinite understanding.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing statement, isn't it?
It's very powerful.
Well, what I like about it is, as you look at that, we really have Unity's big on affirmations and denial. And so Charles starts with a denial, but puts it in such a way that it's a cool denial. I am not under any spell of human ignorance. That's a denial. And then he follows that up with an affirmation.
I am one with infinite
understanding. Yes. And infinite understanding to me would either be what's called the power of understanding, or the other name for it is omniscience, mm-hmm. not omniscience. So omniscience is the ability to understand, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I am not under any spell of human ignorance. That's pretty cool. Today I give no power or importance, mm-hmm. or I right. grant no power or importance right. to human ignorance.
Yep.
Just contextually, what I meant when I said that was that if you don't know something in a customer service context, you certainly don't want to continue giving false information, acting like you know something you don't know. It's far better to acknowledge. You don't even have to say, I don't know, but you could say, let me find someone who has that answer, or I need to look that information up or whatever. Or, let me just draw on my resources rather than acting like you know something you don't know. So we always teach leaders not to be afraid to say you don't know. And then here comes Charles, never say I don't know.
Yeah. So that context is important. And that's something it's very important to teach anyone who's going into any profession, and especially ministry, because people ask us questions, and it's really important, actually, in this case, to clue into our humanity that we're not perfect and we don't know everything, and we might know where to look.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's kind of why the three of us use the phrase, in my opinion, quite often, because even when we do know something, it's from our perspective of how we've interpreted and where we are in our truth at that point.
And at this point in time, whenever I'm not so much when I'm doing a lesson, though I've done it, almost every class now I start with something like, okay, everybody, what you got to know is everything I say for the rest of this class should be preceded with, in my opinion.
right.
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah. But with all that.
And that gives us the space to change our mind.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, which we will, of course.
And we do.
Yeah, and we do.
And we do.
And with all of that being said, I think that is a really powerful just awareness, what Charles is saying here, that we really do have the access to infinite understanding.
Yeah.
But we have to be still to know.
Yeah. And like we have this power of understanding. And if we put it in the full context of how we understand, pun intended, I guess, is that there is the collective consciousness that when I was growing up, it was called the Akashic Records.
Oh, yeah.
Charles called it race consciousness, that somehow in consciousness, everything that's ever been said or thought or felt is available.
Yeah.
And we're using divine understanding to access that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely.
Okay, so, you ready to go on?
Yeah, the accumulation of ignorance gathered through association with ignorant minds can be dissolved by using the word.
Okay, let's stop there because it's not capitalized. which in my opinion, it should be.
Should be.
I agree. Yeah.
So there's two levels for me, the power of the word, the capital P power, the capital W power. Mm-hmm. And then there's our little W word, which would be our statement of an affirmation. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it's a both and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's something hidden in here for me is when he talks about the accumulation of ignorance gathered through association, not only with people in your current skin school experience, but if you believe in reincarnation, the accumulation of your past lives ignorance where you have denied your divinity and based your thoughts, choices, and habits on that perspective instead of claiming who you truly are.
Yes. And in this case, again, dissolve. So we're talking about this process traditionally called denial. And I think are we moving? I mean, I use release more and more now.
Yeah, I like that. And in your book, Point of Power, I'm sure you'll agree that the point of power is in the present moment.
In the present moment, in the conscious phase of my mind.
Yep.
Yes. And the fact that we're dissolving it could allude to chemicalization as well. That there's
that's
a process
coming up here, okay? I don't recall, so I read this originally way back when I found the quote, but I think he's talking about chemicalization here in just a little bit. So go ahead.
Yeah, and he does. Yeah.
Okay. You may know by simply holding the thought that you know.
Yes.
And I love that he says this is not egotism, because that's your first, when you read the first part of this, that could be perceived as being very egotistical.
And we hear that in classes. Mm-hmm. So people object to some of the ways in which we affirm things, mm-hmm. saying, isn't that egotistical? And yes, it could be. And the way I'm using it, it's not.
Exactly.
It's simply spiritual knowing. And mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great way to phrase it. You know,
yeah.
It's not egotism. It's just spiritual knowing.
And that, I think that's also related to, there's so many people still of the idea, because it's taught by so many traditions, we're trying to kill off our ego. So our ego is entirely bad. So our doing that is bad. So we have so much undoing to do here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this is not egotism, but spiritual knowing. Then go on.
When you declare divine understanding, you sometimes meet your old line of thought and are disappointed.
And that's the chemicalization you were talking about.
Yeah. That's the chemicalization. And wow, was that kind of a duh-ha moment? It's been in the recent past where I realized the law of mind action not only creates that thought colony of like thoughts, it also chemicalizes its opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That's why I had to chuckle when I read that part, that sentence, because it's so true.
You might say it was an alpha seltzer moment.
Yeah, that's right.
We did a talk on that once called Spiritual Alka Seltzer.
Absolutely. And it's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, right then, continue to hold to your declaration for knowing. So that opposite idea is coming up is not evidence you're doing something wrong. It's evidence you're doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. That's a wow.
Remember that. Chemicalization is the good news. You might remember, I don't say this as much, but when I'm chemicalizing, one of the things I say, I'm so happy, I feel crappy. Because it's evidence I'm on the right track.
It's even a further analogy to chemicalization is like a gun recoil when you shot a rifle. You retreat forward, essentially, through chemicalization.
Yes. And then he says, judge not by appearances, because the appearance is something's gone amiss.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, no, it hasn't gone amiss. That's just the appearance. Keep doing what you've been doing, right?
Yeah.
And
do not act until you get the assurance. So it goes back to that listening, being aware of what's going on.
So that is so profound.
Yeah.
Because we usually, you know, it's that ready, aim, fire. So fire is the acting.
Ready, fire,
sometimes we fire and then aim ready.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I'm wondering if this is a good place to stop, because there's still a lot more in this, isn't there?
Yes, we could come back and talk more because there's that's a pretty powerful one. This is a great.
So this is Christian. I love it. There's so much metaphysics, fundamental metaphysics in here. So we'll come back to that. And then right now we're going to pivot to Bill's book. And as we get ready to go there, I just want to remind people, I have a website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the Absolute Word, which is my version of the Sunday Daily Word, given permission by Unity, and also where my calendar and where my doing is going to be. Yahoo, right?
Yes. Definitely, yes.
Yes.
It's a good place to go.
Yes, indeed. So Cher, you are both the reader and the curator, and you've decided we're going to go to
page 199 in Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, which you can pick up on our website, which is yourspiritualpractice.com. Just go to products and there you'll find it.
Yep.
You can also get it other places, but that's the best place we'd like you to get it.
And I mean this in the best way. It's kind of one of those bathroom books. In the sense that it's full of alphabetical short readings that you can do when you're meditating.
Yes. True. Yes. Meditating or medicating.
And you can open at any place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Short readings. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Be sure and keep a pencil though, because you want to check off the ones you've read.
Right. And maybe make little notes of ahas as you think about them.
Absolutely.
Like we talk about them. It's kind of fun.
Because if you're in the bathroom, of course, you're not finished until the paperwork is done.
Exactly.
So take notes.
Take notes, absolutely.
Moving right along, we're going to do When Push Comes to Shove. Okay, so this is based on a hand exercise that I actually facilitate when we do workshops, and Bill has alluded to that activity in this particular reading. And the whole point is when push comes to shove, when we're talking about conflict or frustration or whatever, it's I, capital I, opening. That's Bill. It's I opening. So yep. We're going to pitch it to you now. And we'd invite our listeners right now, if you're not driving while you're listening to this, if you're just sitting somewhere, to actually do what I'm about to describe. Actually,
if you can't do it, use your power of imagination.
Hmm. Right. And because you'll figure it out.
Yep.
So put your hands in the prayer position, the standard prayer position where you're begging for something, and not the prayer position we use. Okay. Now push your right hand against your left and think about what your left hand is doing. It's pushing back, right? I bet with everybody, when you push hard against your right hand, your left hand pushes back.
Yes.
Well, here's the question. Ever had that happen in life? Someone pushes against you, and what do? You push back. And what do? They push harder. It's a no-win situation. But what if you didn't resist? So try it right now. Go ahead. Push with your right hand without resisting with your left. Wow. Movement happens. The same thing happens in life. When we stop pushing, when we stop trying to make things happen, but instead open ourselves up to the inflow of divine ideas and the guidance of our intuition and common sense, it's incredible how much easier life becomes.
Yeah, because you're not fighting. You're not resisting. So important. And just for clarity, in case we have some new listeners today, when we're talking about the inflow of divine ideas, we're not talking about it inflowing from somewhere outside of us, but it's really inflowing to our conscious awareness, because every divine idea there ever was, ever will be, is present and available somehow at the point of us.
Always, right? Always.
Yep. Coming through us, really, through that ability.
Yes, indeed.
So I love this one because it applies in so many situations. It could be, like sometimes, just like what we read about from Charles, that we have that inner fight too, you know, like we have ideas pushing against, and if we fight the idea, then it's going to become a struggle. But if we allow ourselves to let it in and play with it a little bit and just see where it goes, it takes on a whole different complexion.
And if we tie it back to what we were just reading, when chemicalization occurs, you don't fight against it. You just keep doing what you're doing. And so there isn't resistance in that sense. We're not pushing back against what's chemicalized. We're noting it and saying, oh, this is good news. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't really have to resist anything.
And that's the unfortunate thing about confirmation bias. Mm. Confirmation bias is a barrier to new information. So if you've got a very strong confirmation bias, you fight against new information that does not conform to your bias.
Yes, and just to remind people, the way that shows up is fight, flight, or a freeze. Mm-hmm. Those are the three basic ways we respond to information we disagree with.
Yep.
We fight against it, we want to get away from it, or we just shut down and freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, usually when we freeze, we dig in.
Yes, yeah, so there's a digging in that goes there.
Uh-huh. It's almost like
we freeze. That's interesting, because when we're fighting, we're digging in. But now we're pushing against.
Mm-hmm.
So think of freeze as being the little bunny rabbit that's in danger, that just hunkers down, right?
Yeah.
Or do you have those little bugs? We called them pill bugs when we were kids, that when you touch them, they roll up into a ball.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's
I guess the non-camper me does not know about that.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Cher. That was outside in the garden.
That was an outside thing.
You just want to look at the garden. You don't want to get down in the dirt.
That's right. I just go out and see the pretty, and then I come back in.
But I do
outdoor team building, and I get down and dirty then.
So I know you do.
I want people to know. I just don't want to sleep there.
That's right. Okay. So this is probably a good place to pivot now to the absolute word. And the one we're looking at is from April 28th, 2019. It's on healing. And the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And the affirmation I created is, I speak words of strength and power to my life centers. I speak words of strength and power to my life centers. Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore's healing led to the founding of the Unity movement. She discovered her intelligence could guide the life energy in her body. She wrote, I began to teach my body and got marvelous results. Myrtle said, I went to all the life centers in my body and spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past when I condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. Myrtle told them they were free, unlimited spirit. Myrtle refused to be discouraged when their progress to wake up seemed slow. Eventually, in 2 years, she realized wholeness. I asked my life centers to forgive me. I speak words of strength and power to them. I tell them they are free, unlimited spirit. Again, the affirmation is, I speak words of strength and power to my life centers. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And I simply have to say that often when people are teaching Myrtle's healing method, they often leave off speaking to the life centers, and that Myrtle asked her body to forgive her,
mm-hmm.
not that she forgave her body. And she's asking for that forgiveness because she had spoken badly about them in some way.
Yep.
And the idea, and Bill, this goes back to something you say often, is that not only is every little cell in our body healthy and whole, but every little cell in our body has consciousness.
Most definitely.
And so she's speaking to them that each cell is free and unlimited spirit in some way. And what a beautiful thought, right?
Yep.
Very powerful.
Yep.
Mother Myrtle was way ahead of her time, and I think it's confirmation bias that keeps people from being able to see that process, the way Myrtle spoke about it and in her book. So
and people would trust their own body to most of the illnesses. Our body is its own pharmacy and its own paramedic if you support it, if you allow it.
Yeah, and if you recall, during our retreat, there was one person there that we cannot name, but that person shared that she began to affirm her body had the intelligence to express wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, what a great realization that is. And yes. I'm realizing we're coming to the end. And so we want to thank our listeners. We so appreciate you. We so enjoy doing this with each other and doing it for you. And we hope you use the information to make it a better day and to make it a better life. And yes. So I'm grateful. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
You're welcome. It's been our privilege.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to the next one.
Bye, everybody.